The God we serve is none other than the Son of the true and living God, Jesus the Christ. A lot of people use the term higher power. You ever heard that term? I serve a higher power. Well, in essence, they're telling the truth. A demon is much more stronger than a human. So that is a higher power. An angel is much stronger than a human. That would be considered a higher power. But the God that I serve, he's not a higher power. He's the most high power. See, there's a difference between something being higher and being most high. See, when I pray, I don't pray to a higher power. I pray to the most high God. His name is Yahweh, Yeshua, Jehovah, Elohim. There's no one greater. There's no one higher. See, I don't need to go. See, you got to understand, I don't want to be just get in the building. I want to be there. I want to be in heaven. Many people are worshiping celestial beings of heaven, but not worshiping the God of heaven. Many people are worshiping the universe, but not the God of the universe. His name is Jesus. This is why people will not give you a hard time when you say, I believe in God. James says the demons believe in God and they tremble. But the question is, what is his name? Why is it that God is allowed but Jesus is not? Because that God is not the God of the Bible. Y'all not walking with me? Today's message is entitled, Jesus, the One Above All. Jesus, the One Above All. I'm going to ask at this time that if you have a cell phone, as you see me demonstrating, I'm trying to play it off, but demonstrating, I'm going to turn my cell phone off. We don't want the devil to, I'm not telling you to turn your phone off, but if you put it on vibrate, we don't want the devil to have any room in this word today. Amen? All right. Again, I'm not telling you to turn it off, just put it on vibrate. I'm going to turn mine off. All right. The one above all. Let that sink in. Jesus Christ is the one above all. And everything I'm saying, I'm going to back it up with scripture. Okay? I'm not just saying this off the top of my head. You know, he is the one above all. On September 11th, there was a storm that made landfall in North Carolina. Storm was known as Hurricane Florence. And Hurricane Florence was considered at one point a megastorm. At one point, it was a Category 4 hurricane. By the time it hit landfall, it was a 2/3 hurricane. It is said that it dumped 1 trillion gallons of water on North Carolina. Y'all didn't hear that. 1 trillion gallons of water. Not a billion, not 100 billion, 1 trillion. The storm was so large that it was 500 miles wide. Now, let me give you an idea how far 500 miles is. From here to D.C. is 342 miles. That's a four-hour drive, and I know we're not driving the speed limit all the time. So add another 150 miles to that. That's how large this storm was. And when storms come, the weatherman takes the front center stage. He's on every channel. He's on every radio station. You know, people at our job had the TVs up to see what the storm was going to do. Are they going to close school or are we going to be a shelter? All these things run into your mind. All these things take precedence when you know a storm is coming. There are three things that go from any store when a storm is coming. There are three things that you will be hard-pressed to find. Whether you go to Walmart, Lowe's, Food Lion, Kroger, Dollar General, There are three things that immediately go when a storm is coming. Bread, water, and batteries. Now, the human body cannot go more than 3 days without water. Your body is 75% water. That's why you sweat when you overheat. Your joints are lubricated by water. That's why you cramp up in your ligaments and your muscles when you don't have enough water. Your cells are 60% water. This is why you dehydrate. Your kidneys filter your fluids in your body. If you go 3 days without water, you will have immediate dehydration. Your kidneys will shut down. It's called renal failure. Your liver will shut down. Your liver filters your blood. So without water, the body dies. A man cannot go more than 21 days without food. When your body goes into starvation, it starts to what they call cannibalize itself. It starts to eat. You start to eat yourself away. 21 days. After 21 days with no food, you're done. Light. Light is necessary for growth. No sun, the flowers don't grow, the grass don't grow. Vitamin D deficiency is based on sunlight. If your body is depleted of vitamin D, it can cause all kinds of health problems. So sometimes the doctors will tell the patient, you need to get more sun. So when a storm is coming, why is it that water runs out, batteries run out, and bread runs out? Well, I would like to show you from the scriptures and tell you when storms come, we look for God. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the bread of life. And he is the living water. So the unsaved man doesn't even know that when a storm is approaching, he goes to look for God. Me and my wife drove to Smithfield, Chuckituck, all kind of places looking for water. Couldn't find it. We happened to stop by Dollar General on the way back. And a guy had pulled an emergency batch of waters out the back. And I was so happy to see him. I said, man, I don't know you, but you're a good guy. And I bought up every case of water they had. Because I understood the value of what it was. You know, water is so precious that were the storm were to really hit us and we'd be knocked out of power for weeks, people would really hurt somebody to get some water. Water would take precedence over money. I was joking with my wife. I said, you know what? We go in and build our stash up. We could sell a case for $100. We can pay the mortgage with this water I'm gonna sell. No, but it can really get to that point where people are willing to let go of money to get water. Oh, you gotta catch that. When I went to the grocery stores, it was plenty of ice cream. It was plenty of donuts. It was plenty of oodles and noodles. It was plenty of fruit and vegetables. But the water aisle, nothing. People were buying seltzer water. If you ever had seltzer water, that's some nasty tasting stuff. But they were so afraid. You got to catch this. You got to catch this. Because when you're in dire situations, you it's not about how pretty you are. You know, people were buying out cases of seltzer water just to say they had water. God says he reveals himself through nature. God says, people don't even know. Why is it that you look for batteries? You can't find them. All the batteries are wiped out. They say you're not finding these strange-looking batteries that don't go to any type of flashlight. There's plenty of those left over. But A batteries, AAA, AA, DC batteries, wiped out. You go to the bread aisle, wiped out. And God spoke to my spirit, and he said, you know what, Lamont? tell the people that when storms come, it's only a matter of time before I cannot be found. Somebody caught that. You have a limited amount of time to locate God when a storm is coming. But once God has left the building, y'all not walking with me? Once the bread of life is no longer here, once the living water is no longer welling up in the saints, once the light of the world, the Bible says we're a light set on a hill. Don't put a bushel over your light. Once the light is taken out of the world, once the water is taken out of the world, once the bread is taken out of the world, you have nothing but doom. People are going to look for Jesus and can't find him. People are going to look for saints and can't find them. Because, a day is going to come where we're going to be taken out of here. Is anybody with me? Let's look at the word. John chapter 3. We're going to stay in the book of John today. John chapter 3. In Sunday school class, we're going through the book of John. So you're welcome to join us. But John is one of the most sound, strongest theological books in the New Testament. If you want to learn about the deity of Jesus Christ, just look in the book of John. But in the book of John, chapter 3, it reads, this is talking about John the Baptist, as he's talking to his disciples, 3:25. I'm going to read on down, then we're going to go to some more chapters as we get to our first point. But this is an intro. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, it's talking about Jesus, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him. From where? From heaven. I want y'all to hold that in your thought, because I'm going to explain that, why Jesus Christ is exclusive. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ. John the Baptist is saying, look, I told y'all from the get-go, I'm a forerunner of the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah, okay? So now that he's here, don't think it's strange that he's going to get all the attention now, all right? He says, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, talking about Jesus Christ and the church. So this joy of mine has been made what? Full. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's look further, 31. He who comes from where is what? Lord have mercy. We can say amen and go home from there. Jesus Christ is not from the earth. He is not of this world. What did he say? In my Father's house, there are what? If it was not true, I would not have. So Jesus came down to earth. He didn't come from the earth. Muhammad came from the earth, not from heaven. Krishna came from the earth, not from heaven. Buddha came from the earth, not from heaven. When you look at the religions of the world, their leaders all came from earth. But Jesus did not come from earth. He came from above. This is why at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and in earth and under the earth will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Where is he from? So everywhere Jesus is, you have to bow. People of earth may bow to Muhammad, but no one in heaven respects him because he's not from there. Jesus is from there, therefore people from there respect him because he's from there. Let's look at the word. We do believe in looking at the word, don't we? I'm not bringing this off the top of my head. This is the word of God. It says, I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. Now, you got to understand, John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus. Now, why didn't he say he who comes from Mary is above all? He could have technically said that because Mary was his cousin. Elizabeth, John's mom, was the cousin of Mary. Amen? Elizabeth was much older than Mary, all right, from an earthly standpoint. Yeah, she was older than Mary, but Mary was chosen by the Holy Ghost to have life planted in her to give life. We know life comes from God. See, the more I learn the scriptures, the more easier it is for me to believe in the miracle birth. First of all, a woman does not create life. She carries life. Let me say that again. A woman doesn't create life. Just like a man doesn't create seed. They carry the seed. They carry the baby. Life, they are incubators, not creators. See, the devil is so deceptive. He'll have women believing that, hey, you are the giver of life. You are the creator of life. No, you are the carrier of life. God is the one who says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the one that says before you were in your mother's womb. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. He didn't say while you were in your mother's womb. He said what? Before. So how can I exist before I'm in my mom? Y'all not walking with me. When I understand the titular details that God is the creator, my mom was the incubator. She delivered me into this world. I'm not going to take that from her. She did do that. Praise God for it. But she did not create me. Jesus is from above. Why do I want to worship someone from the same place I'm from? You know better than me. Right? We're talking about worship now, not respect, but worship. You know better than me. But Jesus said, I'm not from here. I'm from a greater place. We look at Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God, the Godhead, the triune God, created the earth and the heavens. Is that what it say? No, I don't say it like that. You don't say it. Know your word now. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Keep it in sequence. The heavens were created first before the earth was even formed. So if he's from the heavens and he created the heavens, and I'm on earth and I'm from the earth, that means the earth is inferior to the heavens. Jesus, the one above all. Let's keep going. Is it making sense, saints? It says, he who comes from above is above all. Keep that in your mind. If you don't learn anything today, let that one stick. I serve Jesus because there's no one above him. He's above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. He said it twice. What he has seen and heard, and that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal on this, that God is true. Hold on. You say you believe in God, but you say Jesus is not God. You say Jesus isn't real. You say you don't have to believe in Jesus. You can only believe in God, and that's going to get you to heaven. Not according to this. This clearly says if you do believe in the Son, you believe in God. Y'all see that? Has set the seal, his seal, that God is true. For he whom God has sent, so we know God the Father sent God the Son, speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father, okay, y'all want to talk about God the Father? I'm going to talk about God the Father, John says. The what? Father loves the Son. Okay. Raise your hand if you have children. Okay. I have children. If you disrespect my child, don't expect to be cool with me. It ain't gonna happen until we work that out and get that straight. How can you disrespect my child and break bread with me and think we all good? Because no one's closer to me than my children. Y'all walking with me? You can't curse my child and be cool with me and bless me. Because we are connected. We all mighty quiet. Maybe somebody can disrespect y'all children and be cool with y'all, but they don't fly with me. You disrespect my child, you automatically be on the outs with me. That's automatic. Well, y'all mighty quiet today. Maybe y'all don't feel that way about your children, but maybe it's just me. Okay, let's keep going. No distractions. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father what? Loves the Son and has given some things. Just a few things. Just the things in the dispensation of grace. All things. Into his hand. Into whose hand? The Son's hand. All right? So basically, God the Father is saying, don't talk to me until you first go through my Son. Oh, man, y'all didn't catch that one. See, everybody's trying to get to heaven by bypassing Jesus Christ. God is saying, look, I am God the Father. Yes, by function, I'm at the top, by function, okay? But we're all equal. We're co-equal. Jesus is 100% God. God the Father is Spirit. He's 100% God. And God the Holy Ghost is 100% God. Let's get that straight. But you ain't going to get the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to get to the Father if you're going to neglect the Son. It's that simple. It's not difficult, is it? Not according to these scriptures we read. It's real plain to me. It says the Father loves the Son and has given him all things into his hand. Oh. So what does that mean for the person on earth since he's from above? He who believes in the Father, in the Holy Ghost, in God. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Now, I can't get, now if you don't understand how simplistic this is, then I don't know what to say. Let me read that again in case y'all weren't paying attention. He, this is scripture right here, you might want to highlight it in your Bibles. So everybody that want to attack Jesus and say Jesus Christ is not the way, he's a type of way, he's just a prophet, read this scripture right here. It says, he who believes in the Son. This is why a lot of people can go to hell believing in God, but not believing in the Son. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. People are going to go straight to hell, eternal torment, because they didn't want any of Jesus. They only wanted to believe in generic G-O-D. The man upstairs, the higher power. No, the highest power has a Son. Catch this. Let's look at the word now. It's not coming out of my head. Let's look at the word. Let the word speak to us. He who believes in the Son has, not will have. Has is possessive, meaning that you got it right now. You have it right now. Has temporary life. Huh? The temporary life, right? Eternal life. But, let the church say but. He who does not obey the Son will not even see life. Hold on. This doesn't make sense, God. What you mean I don't see life? I'm alive right now. No, this life compared to the life to come, it ain't no comparison. You haven't seen blessings until you walk the streets of gold. You have not seen privilege until you've seen the pearly gates. You have not seen power until you see that your body can go through inanimate objects. You have not seen truth until you be with the Lamb of Truth. You have not seen light until you realize that there's no sun needed, because you have the sun in the oh my God. See, you don't need the sun, S-U-N, anymore when you're in the presence of the S-O-N, because he is light. Light comes from him. He's the light of the world. This is the light of Christ. I'm still in the introduction, y'all. But we're going to make this the sermon, too. The Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides. It didn't say it won't show up. It's already over you. You can live in this temporary world and have all the joys of this life. But if you have it without Christ, the wrath of God is just like Hurricane Florence. It's already over you. It's hovering over you. See, it didn't say the wrath of the devil. It didn't say the wrath of Satan. It didn't say the wrath of demons. It said the wrath of God. So you mean to tell me the same person who sends the storm is the same person that can get me through the storm? Yeah, he is. Jesus is the light of the world. In chapter 9 of John, we see that he's above all. Now we see that he's the light of the world. Chapter 9 of John. Is this making sense, saints? In chapter 9, it says, verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind. Let the church say blind. From birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, meaning teacher, who sinned? This is a theological question that they're asking Jesus, the master teacher. This man or his parents? That he would be born blind. Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents. But it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Let me tell us something. This is liberating and scary at the same time. Some things that happen in our life that we cannot control is not necessarily a result of sin. I'm talking about not so good things. And sometimes it's not because of our parents' sin. Okay? We can't say it's because somebody sinned. That's why you're going through this. Job's friends tried that, and they were wrong. Y'all remember that? Job was sick. Children died. He went through a whole lot of stuff. First things his friends said, you know, man, you need to confess your sins to God. You know, you must have sinned. There's no way you can have all this happen. It's not because of any sin. And they were wrong, right? Be careful how you call somebody's condition. Be careful how you call somebody's condition. It may look the same, but the origin may be totally different. Amen? Jesus had to get his disciples straight, and he said he didn't sin nor his parents. So take that question off the table. He said, this is the purpose, that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. There's that day again. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, he's talking about before he goes to the cross and be crucified and given up for the world. I am the what? He is the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle and applied it to the man's eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Now, we don't know why Jesus chose this method of healing, but I do know this. This man was made from dirt. All of us were. When God made Adam, the Bible says God grabbed some dirt and he blew into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's in Genesis. So Jesus, this guy is blind from birth. So the creator, Jesus Christ, takes dirt. Dirt is made of the same components that our bodies are made out of. He takes dirt. He makes a clay out of the dirt, puts it over the man's eyes. But it wasn't the dirt that healed the man. It was the hand of God that healed the man. See, God can take dirt, and long as his hand is in it, can bring healing in your life. God can take dirt and put his hands in it and allow you to see things a lot clearer than you did when you didn't have any dirt. Oh, man, y'all ain't catching what I'm saying. See, sometimes it's necessary to have some dirt so God can use that dirt to give you clear direction to your true destiny. Just ask Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot had done a lot of dirt. But on this particular day, Joshua, or Joshua, his Hebrew name, he told her, look, take this scarlet string. Now, scarlet is the color of blood. Oh, y'all not catching this. See, scarlet is the color of blood. He said, when we see the scarlet robe, we'll protect and keep from killing you. That sounds familiar. The children of Israel, when the death angel was coming through, God told Moses, take the blood, put it over the mantles of the door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over. See, God had to take, oh, man, I can't even do this justice. See, there's some blood that we need to show God so he can pass over. But you can't get the blood, you can't get the scarlet rope until you have some dirt to present to a holy God. No one in this auditorium can say they don't have no dirt in their past. But it was the very dirt that opened our blind eyes to see that Jesus Christ can wash me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, that I've been made new. I'm now a new creation in Jesus Christ because of my dirt of my past. Dirt. Dirt. Now, I don't need to know all your dirt. You don't need to know all of mine. You don't need all the details. But no one can look in the mirror. If you do, you're lying. And say you haven't done some dirt. You can't look in the mirror now after Christ and say you haven't thought of some dirt. The book of Proverbs says, as a dog goes back to its vomit, to eat his own vomit, so a man goes back to his folly. This is why Isaiah says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're talking about Jesus, saints. See, Jesus was the most unreligious person in the Bible, but he was the most righteous of all. He met people where they were, man. The woman at the well, I'm going ahead of myself. Let me keep going. Yeah, we talked about that in Sunday school today, didn't we, class? Amen. Okay, let's keep going. So we know he's the light, amen? And light, the purpose of light is for you to see. Didn't David say, your word will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Okay, second point is he's living water. So the first point is he's the light of the world. Second point is he's living water. Turn to John, same book, chapter 4. When you have it, say amen. It should be on the screen. So when you see it on the screen, say amen, as if you really found it. Verse 7 reads, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into a city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. See, this Samaritan woman forgot who she didn't know who she was talking to. See, remember we made it clear earlier that Jesus is not from earth? So anybody that you use from earth to trump Jesus is always going to lose. So she tried to use Jacob, and Jacob means supplanter. She even used the wrong word because Jacob's name was changed to Israel after he encountered God by wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord dislocated his hip. He said, no longer will your name be Jacob, now your name will be Israel. She was still going off of Jacob's old nature. Because Samaritans were what they call half-breeds. They were half Jewish and half something else. They could be half Egyptian, half Jewish. Half Moroccan, half Jewish. Half African, half Jewish. But with that other part of their lineage came worship of other gods. This is why the pure-blooded Jews didn't want to have anything to do with them, because the Samaritans worshiped several gods. Y'all walking with me? Let's keep going. Jesus answered and said unto her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him. Let the church say in him. A well of water springing up to eternal life. This is why God does not take you out of here once you get saved. When a person comes to know Jesus Christ, he plants in them an eternal well of living water. That living water is not for that person, it's for whoever that person encounters. This is why you could take somebody from a particular family, God gets a hold of their life, puts a call on their life, and sends them back into that same family that they were saved out of to lead other people to Christ. Like a spring waters other gardens of a plant. Y'all not walking with me. This is the living water he's talking about. This is the eternal flow of water. Everybody sitting in this sanctuary right now did not come here because you just thought to come here. Somebody in your family, somebody on your job, somebody that you knew, some preacher that you saw, somebody shared some living water with you. You tasted it and you came to see that the Lord was good. Living water. Don't you know you have living water inside of you? We have life inside. We're carrying, we're life carriers. Last point. We know he's the light of the world. He's the living water. And lastly, he's the bread of life. Chapter 6 of John, and we're coming on off. Coming on off. Chapter 6, verse 32. Starting in verse 32. When you have it, say amen. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of where?" Now, then we read in John chapter 3 that Jesus Christ is from where? Now we're seeing in John chapter 6 that he's the bread from. Okay. All right. Y'all walking with me. "For the bread of God, that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread." Y'all not getting this, man. Jesus said, "I am the bread." See, in Matthew 4:4, Satan only saw Jesus' humanity. Because Satan is not omniscient, he's limited just like we are, just a little bit, a lot more powerful. So when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came to him in his time of hunger. Because the Bible says that Jesus was hungry. But Satan attacked Jesus from only one side of who Jesus was. See, there's a term called hypostatic union. And hypostatic union asserts that Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. See, Satan attacked him from the 100% man side, but he was blindsided by the 100% God side. This is why when Satan said, "Turn these stones into bread," he forgot he was talking to the bread of life. He forgot he was talking to the one who said, "Once you eat this bread, you will hunger no more." That's why Jesus could look him in the eye and say, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word." He's the bread. Why would you go to the ocean to offer it water? What sense does that make? Why would you go to the desert to offer it dirt? When Satan thought he had Jesus, he said, "Turn these stones into bread." Jesus said, "I am the bread." Why would bread eat itself? Where I'm the producer of bread. Manna did not come from Moses. Manna came from me. Manna was a shadow or a type of Jesus Christ. Manna came from heaven. It allowed the people to live in the midst of a wilderness. Jesus came from heaven so we can live in the midst of a wicked wilderness called the world. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. He's the light of the light of the world. When you walk into a room, does it light up or does it get dim? And you don't have to tote no Bible for that to happen. I work in the largest school in Chesapeake. 2,400 students. And I'm the only minority on the administrative staff. And our school is 75% minority. Yeah, somebody just caught that. And we have the highest poverty rate at my school. We have the highest gang activity at my school. But we have light at my school. Because at my school, there are a group of believers who says, we don't care about the odds. Because I forgot to tell you, our school earned the most scholarships of any high school in Chesapeake. $17.8 million in scholarship money. Hickory didn't do that. Great Bridge didn't produce that. No other school in Chesapeake produced what we produce. Don't just talk about what we, the difficulties that we have. Tell the whole story. When you walk into your place of employment, does the room get lighter or do the lights start flickering? Y'all don't think spirits are real? Spirits are real. Spirits are real. I anointed my office with anointing oil before school started. Because I said, Lord, this is where you want me to be. This is where you planted me. This is my calling. This is my ministry. I said, Lord, all I ask of you is that you make my office a place of peace and refuge. Any demonic spirits, I pray that you control them when they're in my office. And I'm not making this up, but when certain kids come in my office, certain ones walk right back out. Certain ones come in there a while, they calm down. And I know why. It's because the anointing of God is in my office. This is not a joke, y'all. Jesus is the bread of life. He said, he who comes to me will not hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet you do not believe. All, let the church say all. All that the who gives me will come to who? And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Why would he say I will certainly not cast out? Because let me tell y'all something. Us uppity saints. God gonna save some homosexuals as they are. He's gonna save some crackheads as they are. He's gonna save some prostitutes as they are. He's going to save some gangbangers as they are. He's not going to wait for them to get cleaned up, put on Christian cologne, wear a Christian suit, have a Christian haircut with a part on the side, a Christian mustache, a Christian beard, a Christian car. Y'all know I'm making this joke. I'm being sarcastic. No, God specializes in putting his divine hands in dirty places. Where did God have to dig to get you? How many shovels broke? Because they couldn't keep digging to get to you. But God. He said, I'm not going to cast them out. Why would he use that language, I'm not going to cast them out? Because he's not going to cast out people we cast off. When God gets to them, he'll be the one to change them around. He's going to do it in his time. For I have come, here we go again, down from where? Not to do my own will, but the will of who? Him who sent who? This is the will of him who sent me. I love the book of John. It's so clear, man. There's no riddles in John. John is just black and white, just clean cut. I love it. This is the will of him who sent me, in case you have that question, that he has given me, okay, I'm gonna mess this up, that of all he has given who? I lose nothing. Eternal security. Your salvation is secure. Notice it is heaven that is superior to earth. Therefore, nothing that earth can do can break the chains of heaven. So since God is from heaven, his power is heavenly. We are from earth. At best, we can give an earthly representation of power. But when heaven gets a hold of us, nothing on earth. This is why in Romans 8, 32 through 38, Paul says death, nor life, no sword can separate us from the love of God. Because the love of God is not from earth, it's from heaven. So being that it's from heaven, it would take something from heaven to break heaven off of you. But since heaven says, who God sends me, I will not cast out, nor will I lose them. Heaven has already agreed with heaven that whoever comes from earth to heaven cannot be lost on earth. So whatever happens to us on earth, heaven can't be bothered by it. This is why John says that we are to confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because the cleansing doesn't come from earth, it comes from heaven. But the dirt comes from earth, the cleansing comes from heaven. But because I have Jesus living in me, he's put in springs of living water in me. When I do my dirt, when I get dirty, the water that's already in me, by way of the Paracletos, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, convicts me of my sin. He cleans me up that I can become that new creation that God has already called me to be before I was in my mother's womb. I told y'all, stop looking at your parents. God loves you. Catch this. For those of us, now I don't know what it's like, because I grew up in a house of love, but everybody didn't grow up in a house of love. But I want to free you right now. God loved you before your family ever said they hated you. I don't know who need that right now, but some people feel their own family don't love them. But let me tell you something. If you keep looking at who you came through and not know where you came from, you're not going to know where you're going. I got to finish this. We're done. Verse 39 says, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing. Look, if you don't learn nothing from today's sermon, walk out skipping and rejoicing that you cannot lose your salvation. I don't want a salvation that I can slip up, slide out my hand, lose, get snatched away from me. That's not the salvation of the word of God. He said, but raise it up on the last day. Now, I got to attack this because this spirit is so strong in the church about losing your salvation. All right, so I got to attack it with the same level of fervency as it's being preached and pontificated. Now, catch this. He said, I lose nothing, right? But then he said, I raise it up on the last day. You can't raise something up unless it died. So the salvation of the Bible goes beyond the grave. Are you with me? How is it that I can lose my salvation and I haven't been laid to rest to be risen up? I know, just follow me. It says right here, but raised it up on the last day. So this salvation goes through death, through life, and it's so potent that this salvation will raise your body from corruption to incorruptible. That's how long-lasting this salvation is. It's eternal. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in who? Will have what? And I myself, my God, he's not going to send no angel to do it. He said, I myself will make a personal visit to your gravesite. Huh? He not, now, he could send an angel. Okay, you go to California and get all the saints out of the ground there. You go to Virginia. No, he said, I'm going to go to each and every gravesite. Now, how can you do that, Jesus, of all the saints that died? I'm not present. So at the same time, oh my God, at the same time, I'm in Portsmouth gravesite. At the same time, I'm at Roosevelt. At the same time, I'm at Green Lawn. At the same time, I'm in the ocean where the Navy men had their ashes burned. I'm going to be walking on the bottom of the ocean, raising people up. Oh man, y'all can't. At the same time, he's omnipresent. Last day. Let us pray, saints. Father God, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We are weak people in our own strength.